Wow. Man, North Central, it's always a privilege to be here. Thank you for your warm hospitality. I am going to share God's word with you quickly, and I'm so excited that you all have 8 weeks. Come on, how many of you are counting down in Jesus' name? Come on, I know it. It's real. I'm with you. I'm actually finishing up a degree as well, and I already see myself running to the finish line. And so I'm with you here. And so, man, thank you for having me, Pastor Josh. And, man, I just want to honor NCU and all the faculty and staff and friends and students. You guys have been doing such a great job. I hope that you had a great spring break and that you're ready to recharge and kind of finish strong. And so I want to spend the rest of my time with you this morning. I'm going to try to get this through this really quick because I want to give us some time to actually do what I'm talking about. And I'm going to talk about prayer, actually. I want to just share about prayer because it's been an integral spiritual discipline in my life. I learned to pray early as a little kid when I'm one of nine children, okay? And I'm the only boy, and I have eight sisters. That's exactly how I feel. And I love them all dearly. But my mother, bless her heart, she is a woman of prayer. My dad, he was a knucklehead. It took him a little time to come around, but he finally did before he went to be with Jesus a few years ago. And I learned prayer growing up in a little church in our community. It was an inner city church. And I saw the glory of prayer. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, because, friends, I want to let you know that prayer is absolutely essential to your life. Some of you, you may be on a journey of following Jesus, seeking Jesus, and this applies to you as well, because I want to let you know that prayer also is absolutely essential to your life. And so today I'm going to talk about the glory of prayer. And before I do that, I want to just kind of ask you a posing question. What is prayer? What is prayer? Is it just this conversation with God? Because a conversation can be a monologue or a dialogue. Sometimes we talk much and we don't listen. But what is prayer? Is it just a conversation? Is prayer just another spiritual discipline that we can sometimes practice or even sometimes treat like a spare tire in our car, that when some things are going good, we don't really think or remember that it's there until the wheel alignment gets shaky, you get a flat tire, and then you've got to pull it out the back? Sometimes prayer can be like a spare tire. But what is it? Is it just another spiritual discipline? You know, 86% of the world actually believes in prayer. The Hindus believe in prayer. The video you just saw is about the Hindu Buddhist Priority Initiative around the world. 600 million people that don't know Jesus have no access to him. It's most of the Hindus, most of the Buddhists, they actually believe in prayer. Muslims believe in prayer. This whole month is Ramadan for the Islamic faith, and they're praying, consecrating themselves for more spiritual things. And so people are praying for them to encounter Jesus. Christians believe in prayer. Even the atheists believe in prayer. Can you believe 86% of the world actually believes in prayer? It's kind of this universal language. So what is prayer? I want to suggest to you that prayer is more than just a conversation with God. Prayer is communion with God. It's not just a conversation, friend. Prayer is acknowledging who God is, his character, his attributes. Prayer is abiding with God, remaining in him. You can be praying every day. You don't have to be a Buddhist monk. You don't have to be a Hindu monk. You don't have to live in a monastery and go somewhere. You can practice the presence of God daily. And I love prayer. Because the particular verse that I'm going to talk about today, it's two verses that I would say changed my life in prayer. And I'm going to share those with you here. But I want to just give you the goal of just my time with you this morning. My goal, friends, is to inspire you to pray. You see, what I've discovered about prayer is that it's a partnership with God. It's a partnership with the creator of the universe. And this partnership involves you becoming more like God and God being glorified through your prayers. And so I want to inspire you today to build up that spiritual discipline of prayer in your life because there's a glory to prayer. What do I mean by glory? You see, in this particular scripture that I'm going to read to you, I want you to understand what glory means. It means to make renowned. It means to cause the dignity and worth of some person, that being Jesus, to become manifest and acknowledged. And there's one thing that I learned about glory, and particularly the glory of God, is that God will never share his glory with anyone. If you are a glory chaser, then you need to be chasing after God. But if you are a glory stiller, you're in trouble. And so there's a glory in prayer, and that glory is so Christ may be magnified. That glory is so that God may glorify himself through you as he answers the prayers that you learn to pray according to his word and according to his will. And these particular scriptures I want to share with you today in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 30, and John 15, verse 7 and 8. And the Bible reads this way in John 14, verse 30. It says, whatever. Can you just say that word with me? Whatever. 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 Can you believe that Jesus said this? He said to his disciples, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. There's a promise there, friends, and I don't want you to miss it. He said, whatever you ask in my name. I'm going to unpack that for you in just a moment. But he promised whatever that you would ask in his name, he said, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. There's the word glory again. And then John goes over in the next chapter, John chapter 15, verse 7. He's talking about abiding in him. And this whole context that we're dealing with is Jesus is telling his disciples that he's getting ready to go to the cross soon, and he's preparing them for mission. And he's letting them know that it's imperative for mission that they abide in him, that they remain in him, because the next chapter in John chapter 16, he's going to talk about the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who he would then send to be with them, the Spirit of truth, who would guide them, direct them, and lead them on mission. But it was imperative that they remain in him. And he let them know this is the beauty and the mystery of prayer. He says in John 15, 7, he says to them, if you remain in me and my words in you, ask, there's the word again, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I love this, friends, because as we read the Gospels, there was one thing that Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them. He didn't ask them to teach them about leadership. He didn't ask them to teach them about being successful. He didn't ask them to teach about building a business. He didn't ask them to teach them about money. He didn't ask them to learn how to preach. The only thing the disciples are recorded of asking Jesus in all of Scripture, in Luke 11 to be exact, is, Lord, teach us to pray. It's the only thing they asked Jesus to teach them. Everything else they learned and they caught it. But I can just imagine the disciples walking with Jesus, especially John, who was called the beloved. He was very intimate with Jesus. As a matter of fact, he writes from a context of being intimate with Christ. The Bible says that John was so beloved by Jesus that he laid his head on the bosom of his chest. And we can see the intimacy of which John writes in the book of John. But I love the fact that they said, Lord, teach us to pray, because I can imagine the disciples having recognized the power that came from Jesus' prayer life. I can imagine the disciples being very likely that they desired to pray the same prayers and experience the same results in their life that Jesus also experienced. And so, friends, I want to talk about the glory of prayer, because I need you to see that Jesus helped his disciples to understand something about prayer. He helped them to understand that it was about God, not a formula. You see, when he gives them the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 5, also in Luke 11, he said, start with our Father. That's a relational connection. You don't call someone just your father. Anyone can't be just your father or a father-like figure to you. There has to be some type of relationship. And Jesus was helping them to understand that it's not merely about a formulaic principle. It's about God. When we pray, it's not about formula. It's about God. And friends, he also helped them to see that it required a posture of helplessness. I want to lean into this for this morning because this is very important, because when we become helpless, we become dependent. When we become helpless, we become dependent. Matter of fact, my daughter, she's almost 1 year old. And just the other day, we were sitting down and we were eating, and my wife and I were just conversing. And little Eliza, she is a precious gift from the Lord, and she loves to laugh, and she'll let you know when she's hungry. And my wife, she was kind of hitting at my wife, and my wife wasn't paying her any attention. And my daughter's complaint get a little bit louder, My wife wasn't paying her any attention. And finally, my daughter with her four teeth bit my wife. And my wife said, what? She just bit me. I said, you wasn't listening to her. She's hungry. It's interesting that I think about that, because my daughter was letting my wife know, I can't help myself. I'm still relying on you to feed me, mama. And I'm dependent on you, and so I'm hungry, feed me. And friends, this is the picture that I get when we come to Christ himself. God, I need you. I can do nothing without you. I'm helpless. I'm depending upon you. You see, when it comes to helplessness, the world teaches us to actually become allergic to dependency and helplessness. This is what the world teaches us. We become allergic to being helpless, which means that we don't depend on God. We become allergic to being helpless, which means that we depend more on ourselves and the world's philosophies and customs. We become allergic to helplessness and dependency on God when we start planning out our own life, when you start orchestrating your own purposes, when you start trying to build your own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. You see, Jesus teaches us to be helpless and dependent. This is where we get into John chapter 15. You see, Jesus tells his disciples in the beginning, I am the vine and you are the branches. What he means there is, hey, you feed off of me. I'm your nourishment. If you don't stay connected to me, you can't grow and bear the fruit that I'm asking you to produce. As a matter of fact, I love this thought, because Jesus lets us know that we actually are not in charge of producing fruit. We're in charge of bearing it, which means that we're connected to the one who gives us the resources in order to bear it. So that takes the pressure off of us, friends, that I'm not called to produce fruit. I'm just called to remain in the vine, who, if I do that, who he's connected to him, he'll bear the fruit through me. And Jesus lets them know that if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He said, it's a promise. You'll bear fruit. I want you to understand something, North Central, because today in ministry and today in the world, we often equate success with fruit. All success is not fruit. Jesus said, if you bear fruit, it's because you're remaining in me. It's because you're connected to me. It's because you're dependent on me and you're helpless without me. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't know if you realize what he really is saying here, but I want to help you understand it. Apart from Jesus, apart from God the Creator, friends, you can do nothing. You can't even breathe being here today if the breath of God is not allowed to flow through your lungs. You can't even stand up when Tabor is over and take a step with your motory skills and your legs to function from the central neurons in your brain if God doesn't give it to you. Jesus is letting us know that we can absolutely do nothing without him. You can try to do it and fail. You can try to do it and build your own kingdom and one day find out, like Solomon said, that he had everything in the world, but it was all vanity and disappeared like a vapor. Jesus lets them know that apart from me, you can do nothing. And he says very similar in the words In verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words in you, you can ask what you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. Friends, I want you to just understand John 14, verse 30, and John 15, verse 7 that I'm just explaining to you for a moment. I want you to really get this, because what Jesus is helping them to understand is it's really about relationship. The remaining means that I'm abiding, that I'm in relationship with him. My life, my devotion is consistently centered around Jesus. He talks about relationship, and ultimately your prayers as you're in relationship with him will bring God glory. This is what I've learned about prayer, that whenever I pray a prayer that I know bring God's glory, it's more likely to be answered. And so I want you to understand it's about relationship. Your prayers are either helping build the kingdom of God, or your lack of prayers are helping to build the kingdom of Satan. You have a lot of successful people in this world, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, all these great people in the world. But if they're not in the kingdom of God, then they're for the kingdom of Satan. Even though it's causing good in e-commerce in the world, and you got an Amazon app and you want to drive a Tesla, that's all great. But if it's not for the kingdom of God, ultimately it's for the antithesis of the kingdom, which is the kingdom of Satan. And so, friends, our prayers help us build the kingdom of God, and our prayers help us destroy the kingdom of Satan. And this is what Jesus says. He says, if you ask anything in my name, this revolutionized my prayer life. Because I want you to understand what Jesus did on the cross. It's a legal term here of legal authority. When you have a power of attorney, I'm my mother's power as attorney. And so if anything happens to her, me and my sister have the power to negotiate and make decisions for her. We can use her name. When Jesus died on the cross and he says, it is finished, and the sting of death was removed from Satan, and the forgiveness of sins was now the pathway through forgiveness through Jesus Christ. What he was letting us know ultimately is that I have overcome death, hell, the grave, and all authority is in my name. I have a legal right now. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, you have legal authority. It's almost as if God is hearing your prayers, and he just looks over at Jesus and says, do you sign off on this? Literally. And so, friends, he says, if you ask anything in my name, and I want you to understand what he means by name, even more so, because sometimes we can say, oh, Jesus, man, I just want that big house in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, I need to be debt-free when I leave in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, man, I want that girl. Whoa, she's fine. In Jesus' name, you're mine. Ooh, that guy, oh my gosh, girl, you see him? In Jesus' name, he's mine. Come to me now. What Jesus is saying here, friends, is when you use his name, it has to be in alignment with his word and his will. So anything you pray in your life about the character of Jesus, about the mission of Jesus, about the life of Jesus, that's what he means. You can use his name for that, because that is what he accomplished through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. As a matter of fact, I was in a country not too long ago, and we were having ministry, and some of the demons began to move and begin to be distracting. And one demon-possessed person, they took off running. And we were trying to get them back so that we can help them be free in the name of Jesus. And one person who was working what we call the deliverance tent, the person said, hey, come back here. And the person kept running. The other person said, hey, come back here. And the person kept running. But somebody who knew the name and authority of Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And the person stop. What am I saying to you? It's the name of Jesus that's powerful. It's the name of Jesus that has authority. It's the name of Jesus that heals. And when we pray, friend, God is not, when we pray, it doesn't change God. When we pray, it actually changes you. It's changing you because your will is being submitted to the Father. Your will becomes in alignment with His will. And that's why the psalmist says, when you pray, your heart's desires, if you delight in the Lord, then He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's not if you delight in yourself. When you delight in the Lord. And so it's ultimately about relationship, the name of Jesus. And then he says in John 15, 7, this last thing, he says, if my words remain in you. You know what? The Holy Spirit revealed something to me recently, just a few years ago or more. And he said, Will, if you don't deposit the word in you, I have nothing to withdraw. Some of us are spiritually bankrupt because we haven't hid the word in our hearts. As David said in Psalm 119, Lord, how can a young man stay pure? I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Friends, what Jesus was saying here, if you remain in me and your words remain in me, he says you can ask what you will. This is why 1 John, the same author of John, the Gospels, he writes so lovingly to the church and he says, and this is the confidence that I have, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you and he will answer you according to your prayers that's been prayed according to his will. And friends, I want to help you today. When we partner with God in prayer, we're asking based on his word. We're asking based on a relationship of remaining in him. And when we're in relationship, when we use the name of Jesus, when we have the word of God in our hearts and we're praying God's word, I want to tell you that God will bring glory to himself through your prayer life. God wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you through praying and advancing his kingdom. But it starts with a relationship. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know him, you need to know who he is. He's the sin bearer. He's the forgiver of sins. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He came to die on the cross for our sins, the sin that we have that separates us from a holy, loving, and perfect, but yet just God. And those sins separate us in relationship with God, but he didn't create us to be separated. He created us for fellowship. He created us for koinonia. Koinonos is the word that means intimacy, that means fellowship, that means communion. He created us to be with us. But sin separates us from God, but this is why Jesus came to pay the price and the penalty for your sin, so that the power of sin no longer has rule and reign over your life. And when he rose from the grave, he finally defeated the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave, and all authority is in his hands. And so do you know him? Because if you don't know him, you can't really pray to him. Some of you might know him, but you're not walking in intimacy. You're not walking in koinonia. And that's what I want to challenge us for in this moment. I want to challenge you. I want you to stand with me. Because I want us to get ready to just let the Lord encounter you in prayer. Some of you have never experienced the real glory of God. When God's glory comes in a certain place, you can't even stand. That's how holy he is. You're undone. Like Isaiah, I'm undone. You can't even stand. You got to kneel. You got to lay out prostrate. Because the glory of God. Listen, friends, I want you to know God's glory wants to encounter you, but God's glory wants to be revealed in your life as you develop a life of prayer. I've learned to take Jesus' words at heart, friends. Am I truly helpless? Am I truly dependent on God? Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and well-doing, all of you who are weary and burdened. He says, I'll give you rest for your souls. That's a promise to us. Friends, you know what I've learned? The requirement for coming to Jesus is weariness. It's sorrow. It's being burdened. It's having anxiety. It's being overwhelmed. It's feeling depressed. It's going through depression. It's going through loss. It's going through grief. God says, come to me. Come to me. And so I want to invite you now. Just get out of your seat and begin to come. Come to this altar. Come to this altar. Come now. Move. Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. I want you to come to this altar. We're just going to worship the Lord here just for a few more seconds. If you need to get ready to go to class or your next point in the day, I invite you to do that. But at this point, those of you who can stay, I just want you to come. You would say, man, well, I want to see the glory of God in my prayer life. This is what I'm going to walk you through. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. We pray it every Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning with our staff. It's just called an Acts model of prayer. I adore him. I tell him that I love him. He's great. He's mighty. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's forgiving. He's merciful. He's just. Then I just confess. Because when I adore him, I come into his presence. But then I just confess, because when I come into his presence, I recognize that I'm really undone. I can't really be in his presence. But he allows me to, because he forgives me, he loves me, and he's merciful. So when I adore him, after that, I just confess. I say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for carrying loads that I couldn't bear. Forgive me. I just confess anything that's on my heart. And then I just begin to thank him. Friends, you have something to be thankful for. You're among the elite in the world. You're in a college and a university getting an education. Some of your parents have sacrificed greatly. Some of you have earned scholarships to be here. You have great things to be thankful for. So then after you confess, just be thankful. Thank him for anything. I thank God for the shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back, the bed I sleep in, the cars I drive, the money I got or don't have in the bank. I thank him for everything, hot water, cold water. Just thank him. And then finally, you can ask him. So that's all it is. Just ask. Adore him. Confess. Thank him. And then just begin to ask him. You're not just having a conversation today, but you're communing with God. So I just want you to do that. I don't even want the worship team to sing. I don't. Because we don't need worship. I want worship team to participate in this. You guys can do it too. You're always ministering and serving people. You can pray too. And so let's just begin to adore him. Come on. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth and just begin to adore Jesus. Just begin to adore Jesus. Come on, tell him he's good, he's awesome. You love him, you're thankful. Come on, just adore him in your own way. That's it, just encounter God this morning in your own way. Let the glory of prayer become your lifestyle. God, we adore you, we thank you. You are Christ the King, you are the Redeemer, you are the living Son of God. You are merciful, you are kind. Just tell him how good he is. Just tell him how good he is. And then you're going to move into confession. As you confess anything that's in your heart. And eventually you'll go to Thanksgiving. But just take your time. It's just you and God here. We're just going to come around and pray and lay hands on you. And we just want you to encounter Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, you're here with us. Those who can stay. Lord, even those who had to go, Lord, as they have time tonight or this evening, let them encounter you. Let the glory of God be present in our life of prayer. Bring glory to yourself through the prayers that we pray. Lord, I pray right now as we're here, would you just help us to encounter you, every student in their own way. God, in their own way, help them to encounter you. Their own way, help them to encounter you. In Jesus' name, come on, just keep on praying. That's it. We're going to come around and pray for you. We're here.